Stubbin' & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, 1025, 106 through the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to the losses of Amanda J. Gentry. Carolina is out today. Titans losers yesterday, 20-16 against the Bengals. And the thing that frustrated me the most was the fact that the offensive play caller feels just this unwilling desire. He cannot stop himself from putting in Jeff Swaim in the red zone and blowing two red zone opportunities. My second biggest frustration is the special teams coordinator that has never had good special teams here. You know, ends up having a unit that hits a snapper in the head, which again is a personal foul penalty. Everybody knows that. And can't have a kicker make a 35-yard field goal. But probably the most disappointed I was, because I expect the coordinator to be obsessed with Jeff Swaim, and I expect special teams to be an unmitigated disaster. But the biggest problem I had yesterday is, what happened to the defense for the Titans? Now, I've been on here for weeks, and I've been telling the entire country, I've been saying, hey, this is an elite defense. Bud Dupree, DeNico Autry, Jeffrey Simmons, David Long Jr., you all know how much I love Amani Hooker. I love the grit and the tenacity with which Roger McCreary plays with. I think Kevin Byard's a great leader. I think they've got good situational players, good role players like Mario Edwards Jr. and DeMarcus Walker and Dylan Cole. And I love this defense. And they play like Vrabel. And they're disciplined. And they're in their gaps. And they're great tacklers like Andrew Adams. And I love this defense. And I know coming into this game, they're ranked 18th. Now they're ranked 21st. I know they were ranked 18th. But I felt like they were an elite defense. I felt like they proved they were an elite defense when they went on the road and played 100 snaps against the Kansas City Chiefs and held them to 20 points in four quarters in overtime. And yesterday, I'm sitting there in my seat. And again, maybe I didn't have enough respect for Joe Burrow. But I'm sitting there in my seat watching Cincinnati just move the ball, move the ball, move the ball, move the ball, move the ball. And I want to know, what was wrong with the defense yesterday? Now, I am going to be fair. Part of it could be the fact that the offense didn't sustain anything and time of possession, unlike the Green Bay game, where they had the ball for the entire second quarter. The reality is that the Titans didn't have the ball in most of the first half, so they played a lot of plays. Part of it is they went up against one of the smartest quarterbacks in the league who made great throws. They've got a great receiver in T. Higgins who went up and made great plays. It was a physical game. But too many times in my notes yesterday, I wrote, too many yards on first down. Bengals first and 10 at the Titans 45. Too many yards on first down, gain of 5. Second down, Pirine, gain of 4. No push, defensive line. It's like too many times the Bengals just push the Titans around. Too many times the Titans missed a huge, huge tackle, the kind of tackle that they can't miss. It's like, what are they doing? They actually have the Bengals backed up. Great field position for the Titans. And the Bengals are backed up. And on the first play, they run the ball, and they pick up a bunch of yards and a horrible missed tackle by Amani Hooker. First and 10 at the Cincinnati 8 in the second quarter with 7:29 to go, and Joe Burrow throws the ball to Pirine, and Amani Hooker takes a terrible angle and misses a horrible tackle, and Samaje Perine gains 32 yards. I mean, what happened to that defense? And I already know. And we've already had a caller call in about it today, and I've already seen it in the text line and everything else. Well, DeNico Autry wasn't in there, and so you don't think you can expect the defense to... Wait a minute. Whoa. Now, I love DeNico Autry. If there was a DeNico Autry fan club, I'd be the president of it. But the thing about this defense that I'm so proud of is the fact that this defense is not reliant on one guy. The thing that's made this defense so great is how Zach Cunningham can get hurt and Dylan Cole and Joe Schobert can enter the lineup and the play of the defense doesn't drop off. What makes this defense so legit is the fact that, yeah, Jeffrey Simmons is the beast that makes it go, But when Jeffrey Simmons was out against the Broncos, the Titans still got pressure on Russell Wilson. The Bengals have a terrible offensive line. They don't have a bad offensive line. They have a terrible offensive line. And the Titans got no pressure on Joe Burrow. And so I'm just sitting here thinking myself, like, hey, did I expect Jeff Swaim to make plays in the red zone? No. So I can't really be mad about Jeff Swaim not making plays in the red zone when they put him in the game. And it's obvious they're running the ball and they don't get anything because, you know, Trey Hendrickson knocks the crap out of them. Can't be mad at Jeff Swaim when Ryan Tannehill throws it to him, hits him in the hands, pops in the air. I can't be mad about that. Not mad at the coordinator for playing him because he doesn't need to be out there because they have two tight ends who are better than him. But you know what? Fine. That's my expectation. When the Titans bring out Mega Man to kick Caleb Shudak and he goes out there and he misses a 35-yard kick before the half, I'm not happy about it. But were you surprised when he missed that kick? Were you shocked? I know I wasn't. But, man, I'm disappointed in the defense. Too many times I wrote down yesterday, bad tackle. David Long Jr., who's been one of the best defensive players on this team, he missed a tackle to start the game. This has been one of the most sure-tackling teams out there. I have, for weeks, told you how much I appreciate their tackling. And they're just, to me, they sacked Burrow one time, and then they had the intentional grounding in which they got to him. But outside of that, Joe Burrow just stood the shotgun, just waited on the ball, and threw it exactly where he knew he was going to throw it and put it exactly where he wanted to put it. And I'm like, if you're an elite defense, you get the ball with 6 minutes to go. Again, the Titans ended up kicking the field goal in the fourth quarter, which I didn't agree with. But Vrabel probably doesn't kick that field goal if he doesn't really, truly believe in the defense. And I don't mean believe in the defense where he gets up at a press conference and he says something along the lines of, you know, we believe in our defense, like Mike Mularkey got up there when the Titans lost to the Vikings one time and said, any chance we have with number 8 Mariota out there, we believe. Okay, Mike. But I think Vrabel actually believed in his defense when he went to kick that field goal, which, again, I still don't understand why he kicked it. But when he went out there to kick that field goal, he's thinking with 6:11 left to go in the game, the defense can get the ball back. And instead, Burrow to Higgins for 8, P. Ryan for 2, first down, Burrow to Hurst for 8, Williams for 16. I don't even know who that Williams was, by the way. I mean, at some point, he thought they were going to get the ball back. And if you've got an elite defense, your elite defense gets you the ball back. What they did against Kansas City, that defense, they get you the ball back. And I was just watching the game. I'm like, how can you not? How do you give up all these yards on first down? How do you not hold up in the goal line where they get a 7-yard touchdown run? How do you let 88 manhandle you on a jump ball on a 50-50 ball? You cannot let T. Higgins get positioned like that, Christian Fulton, Roger McCreary, on the two jump balls they had. I mean, no pressure, too many scrambles from the quarterback, too many yards on first down. They got pushed around physically, and they didn't tackle well. That's not the defense I've been telling everybody about for the last couple of weeks. That's not the defense that I've been sitting there saying, hey, this defense is legit. This defense is elite. I understood it last year when Bud Dupree was in the lineup with all four guys, with Dupree, Autry, Simmons, and Landry, and they got to every single quarterback, whether it was Mahomes or whether it was Allen or whether it was Stafford, and they made that guy's life miserable. They goaded Carson Wentz into losing that game on the road in Indianapolis. Yesterday, Joe Burrow just did whatever he wanted to. They had 9 sacks of Joe Burrow last year. What happened to the defense? If they got that same performance, and I know Vrabel said yesterday after the game, almost mockingly, we're not going to expect to get 9 sacks. But if they play the way they played last year on defense, Titans would have ran away with that game yesterday. So what happened to the defense? This is the defense that made Aaron Rodgers look miserable the other day. What's wrong with the defense? So I would say that that's probably where I'm most disappointed. It's not where I'm most angry, but it's probably where I'm most disappointed. Is I'm disappointed in the fact that the Titans defense, which I thought was elite, loses one player, a $7 million guy. Now, I love Autry, but he's a $7 million guy, and they're not the same. I mean, when Danico Autry went down and it looked bad at Green Bay, I was sitting there like, no, not Danico Autry. And the fans were booing in Green Bay because Tyre Tart had faked the injury on the play before. And so now Danico was down, and the Green Bay fans thought that Autry was faking the injury. But I knew Danico Autry was really hurt, and I was like, oh, no. But if you have an elite defense, as much as I love Danico Autry, you can't be completely reliant on one guy. And I just thought the Titans defense, even though they only gave up 20 points, and even though I guess technically they did get the ball back, and then old buddy hit the snapper. Other than that, I was disappointed. I expected more out of the defense. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Here's the other thing that I think we all need to adjust our line of thinking when it comes to Cincinnati and when it comes to that quarterback, and I don't think the Titans defense was there. We'll get to that. 615-737-1025. FanDuel Sportsbook is my official sportsbook app. One of the things you got to love about betting on the NFL is they've always got new players or game props that are out there for you. What's cool about FanDuel is you can combine these props with other bets from the same game to score an even bigger payout, which is perfect for tonight's Monday night football game, Steelers and the Colts. I would say take the under. I would say take under rushing yards Jonathan Taylor, over rushing yards Najee Harris. That's just my pick for tonight's game. FanDuel Sportsbook is easy to use, easy to register, easy to deposit, and easy to find your bet. They've got live betting, so it's easy to place your bet during the game if you see a trend you like. And you get fast withdrawals. When you win, FanDuel pays you your winnings quickly. There's no feeling like nailing a same-game parlay, so lock in your bet today on FanDuel Sportsbook. And right now, new customers get $150 in free bets, win or lose, with a promo code JGM. That's promo code JGM. And make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner from the NFL. 21 and older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager, only $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Defense, everybody gets a game ball.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. Their lead back, 17 carries for 38 yards. Yeah. And I saw tip balls, I saw sacks, I saw Mike Hilton jumping in there for tip balls. Everybody on that defense stepped up to the plate. That was awesome. Offense, everybody gets game ball. Last 8 weeks, they haven't given up over 100 yards rushing. You guys got over 100 yards rushing. Okay, we played the style of game we needed to play today, okay? And I'm not leaving out special teams. You guys get game ball too.
Cincinnati, boy, they were having a party in the locker room yesterday after the game. Everybody gets a game ball day, which, I mean, I did that with the Titans last week, so what can we say about, you know, Cincinnati doing that this week? Let me say this. If I was Cincinnati, I'd have one big old game ball. Joe Burrow. Though I would give one to DJ Reed or two, their 350-pound nose tackle, who just bullied Aaron Brewer yesterday. Bob Shoup's going to watch the tape. He's going to be on the show tomorrow. Coach Bob Shoup, he's going to be by. We'll see how he felt the line played versus their line. But regardless, here's one thing. I'll tell you about the defense and the Titans defense and what bothers me about the fact that I know they only gave up 20 points and they technically got the ball back at the end of the game where they forced the field goal and then they hit the snapper in the head, which was just so stupid. But what bothers me is when the Titans played Kansas City, I don't know if you guys felt this way or not, but I felt like when the Titans played Kansas City, the defense played with a sense of urgency on every snap. Like, every snap of that game was, hey, Mahomes could pop one any second. He could pop an 80-yard touchdown. And no matter what we do, we are not going to let Mahomes do that. And then against Green Bay, I felt the same sense of urgency. They never really felt comfortable until the final final incompletion from Rodgers, where it was like, okay, now we know it's over. Now we know we took care of business, because they saw what Aaron Rodgers did the week before against the Dallas Cowboys. And even though Green Bay stinks, we all know what Aaron Rodgers is capable of. It kind of reminds me of that playoff game at New England a couple years ago where the Titans won, where I don't think they really took it easy until Brett Kern put the ball at the one-yard line with 1 second to go or whatever it was, and Brady ends up throwing the pick six to Logan Ryan. I felt like, you know, that entire game, that Titans defense was locked in, like, you know, Tom Brady at any moment, he could be Tom Brady. And I don't think they play with that same level of respect for Joe Burrow. I don't think they played that way in the playoff game, but they played so great by sacking him 9 times that maybe they didn't feel like they needed to play that way. But I think they've got to play that way against Joe Burrow. I think Joe Burrow is just as good as every other great quarterback in this league. I mean that. Like, when it comes down to, and Zach Taylor said this after the game yesterday, he goes, we would not trade our quarterback for any player in this league, period. And considering that Zach Taylor would be fired by now if he didn't have Joe Burrow as his quarterback, I understand why. I mean, I have, and I'm not, I don't mean to knock Mahomes by saying this, because Mahomes is going to the Hall of Fame. But I'm more afraid of Joe Burrow than I am Patrick Mahomes. And I think the Titans, when they play Joe Burrow, they definitely didn't treat him this way in 2020, and he lit their butts up. And they definitely didn't feel that way in the playoff, in which they sacked him 9 times, but Joe Burrow still made every big throw he needed to make. And I really don't feel like they approached this game that way yesterday. I think they treat Joe Burrow like he's a good quarterback, like Stafford or Dak or Lamar or that group, like how I assume they'll approach Justin Herbert. Whereas I think they need to approach Joe Burrow games like they're playing Mahomes or Brady or Rodgers. And any question about, you know, what tier does this quarterback or that quarterback, or guys, Joe Burrow is just as good as any quarterback in this league, and Joe Burrow's a winner. Aaron Rodgers is not a winner. Joe Burrow is a winner. And I think the Titans need to start treating it that way. Texter to the text line says, the Bengals have zero respect for the Titans after that game. They own us until we prove otherwise. Somebody else texted in earlier, and they said, you know, what about, you talk about how Vrabel's the best coach in the league and Zach Taylor is 3-0 against Vrabel. And let me say this, I think Zach Taylor is a total, total boob. I don't think it's about Zach Taylor, guys. I don't think it's about the Bengals. I don't think it's about the makeup of that team. I don't think it's about that owner with that ugly-ass hat he had on at the Super Bowl. I think it's about one guy. Burrow! Guys, Joe Burrow, at this point in his career, has had more success than Peyton Manning did. And I always joke about the MVP awards. Peyton Manning is with the Colts. They're Super Bowl contenders every year. He has neck surgery, doesn't play. They're the worst team in the league. Who do you think the most valuable player in the sport is? The Bengals, for 30 years, have been an abysmal franchise. Minus that couple of years they had Carson Palmer and they didn't win any playoff games, and that couple of years they had Andy Dalton and they didn't win any playoff games. But for my entire football watching life, which coincides with the Titans moving from Houston, the Bengals have always been a team. When they used to play in the AFC Central, the Bengals were always a W on the schedule. That organization sucked. All their quarterbacks sucked. All their coaches, terrible. They were a joke. They were a joke with this guy coaching them. People forget about this. The Dolphins were tanking to get the number one pick that year, and they won more games than the Bengals did, and that's how the Bengals got Joe Burrow. So Joe Burrow shows up, and by year two, they're in the Super Bowl. That's what Peyton Manning basically did in Indianapolis. They were 3-13 Peyton's first year. The second year, they're 13-3. He carried the entire organization. He carried the coaching staff. He carried the cheap owner. It's Burrow. That's what I'm saying when I talk about the Titans defense and the sense of urgency that they played against Kansas City with, where it was like every possession was, be careful, because This guy right now on any play, I know he doesn't have Tyreek Hill anymore, and I know we've kind of held Kelce in check, but this guy on any play could end the game, and they played with that laser focus, and they did not play with that laser focus yesterday against Joe Burrow. And they need to start treating Joe Burrow like that, because Joe Burrow is that good. Texter to the text line says, if the playoffs started today, the Titans would play the Bengals in Nashville and would once again be one and done. If so, can coaches' heads start to roll? Whoa. First of all, the Titans could win the Super Bowl. And I think that they should fire their special teams coach, Craig Aukerman. He stinks. And he never gets any better either. And now they don't even make excuses for it. Nobody talks about it anymore. They're just so used to Aukerman sucking so bad that nobody says anything about it, but he's horrendous. But I don't know what the Titans will do if they go one and done in the playoffs this year. The one thing I'm not going to do is I'm not going to assume that yesterday's game means they're going to be one and done in the playoffs this year, because that's not how the NFL works. Now, am I concerned with the fact that the Titans' strength of victory is by far the lowest of any competitor in the AFC? Yes. But last year, they had a great strength of victory, which meant that they were beating really good teams. They beat the Bills, they beat the Rams, they beat the Chiefs, and it didn't matter come playoff time. And the 9-7 Titans in 2019 that got to the AFC Championship game had to make it the last day of the year, and that's only because the Texans took everybody out because they had already clinched their playoff spot. So the playoffs are kind of fickle, and they're kind of weird. And so I don't look at yesterday's game as, oh, they're done in the playoffs. But I am concerned. I am concerned that they haven't beaten anybody who's any good. I am concerned that they're 0-3 against Mahomes and Allen and Burrow this season. I am concerned that they can't make a 35-yard kick. 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. What's funny about life, I'm sure you guys all have these at your jobs, and I know I have this at mine, where I feel sometimes like I make a bad decision in my job. That doesn't mean that I'm a bad radio host. Sometimes I feel like I have bad shows, and sometimes I get really down on myself if I feel like I have a bad show. Doesn't happen very often, but every now and then I have that feeling. That doesn't mean that I'm a bad host. Mike Vrabel did not have a very good day yesterday as a coach. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
What was the thought process kicking versus leaving the offense on the field on that last fourth down there in the fourth quarter?
Just trying to, you know, secure some points and get a stop. That's what the thought process was. And, you know, and fourth and five, we were trying to just make it closer for Caleb, you know, the third and long. I think the process was that we could get it stopped and, you know, have a chance to either win the game or tie it. That's what the thought process was.
We could get them stopped, and then we could go down there and tie it with a 4-point kick. That was Mike Vrabel yesterday on his decision to not go for it. And I got to tell you, Mike Vrabel's a great coach. I think he's the best coach in the NFL. I do. And I think the Titans get more out of their players. And if they played that game yesterday and got that same performance out of Tannehill, which I thought was a great performance out of Tannehill, I think the Titans will find a way to win. Because I cannot imagine that the Titans will make the same amount of mistakes that they made yesterday. But the head coach is certainly not absolved of blame. This is kind of a problem as far as the groupthink is concerned. Everybody loves Mike Vrabel. Everybody thinks he's a great coach. Everybody thinks that he is just, I mean, almost a sacred cow. That he is unblameable when it comes to mistakes that the Titans make. And I don't feel that way. I like Vrabel. I think he's a great coach. I have no idea if he likes me. But I do think about it like this, which is yesterday I thought that the coaching as a whole was terrible. And unlike everybody else that's just going to point coordinator, 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 I think Vrabel bears some of the blame. For instance, you think that when they decide after they throw the ball down to get inside the red zone and they're going to run Derrick Henry, just run him right into that Bengals defensive line that shut him down last year, that has two good pass rushers and has a 350-pound defensive tackle that Mike Vrabel loved when he was the defensive coordinator of the Houston Texans and DJ Raider played there, you don't think Vrabel can hop on the headset and say, hey, we can't battery ram it up in there? Of course he can, but he didn't. I didn't like the poor clock management at the end of the first half. I thought the Titans were doing a really good job of getting down and moving the football, and maybe some of that was Cincinnati's defense. But the Titans get down there, and again, they got a 35-yard field goal, and they didn't make it, so it wasn't the end of the world. But the Titans are moving the ball down the field, and they hit Hooper for a gain of 12 yards with 53 seconds left. With 40 now to 47, they call timeout. Good timeout. Use your first timeout. That's fine. Tannehill then on second down passes it short to Westbrook Akine, which sets up a 3rd and 5, and the Titans take the second timeout, and I don't like it because it was a short gain, and it is setting up a 3rd down. And you're already essentially in field goal range when you call that second timeout at the 32-yard line. You're going to go for a 1st down. If you get the 1st down, now you're going to wish that you had your timeout back. If you don't get it, it's going to be okay that you let some time roll off because now Joe Burrow doesn't have enough time. So Tannehill completes the ball to Westbrook Akine, and I don't know what the point of that was. I don't know what Tannehill was thinking. But don't call that timeout to start up the 3rd and 5. Then they end up completing it for 10 yards, and the great tackle by Cincinnati to keep Woods in bounds, but now they have to call a timeout. So now they've got 17 seconds, and they're at the 17, and they've got no timeouts. So now every throw has to be to the end zone, which it was not. It really handcuffed their ability there because of how he called that second timeout. And again, if you're the best coach in the NFL, you got to manage the clock well. I did not like yesterday Vrabel's challenge. I really thought that the Bengals did a great job of completing that pass on the sideline, and it was the far sideline away from Vrabel, and they ran to the line, and Vrabel didn't know what to do. Vrabel was flustered, and he decided, and this was a quick trigger decision, and I'm not going to kill him for this, but Vrabel stood there on the sideline. The replay booth did not have enough time to tell him whether or not he should or shouldn't challenge it. The scoreboard people did not have enough time because the Bengals hurried up to the line to flash up there on the scoreboard so Vrabel could see it. So Vrabel decided that game by Cincinnati is important enough for me to challenge and for me to waste the timeout if it doesn't come to fruition. That was a calculated risk. He threw the flag. I wouldn't have thrown it because I valued that timeout too much, and I didn't see an angle that made me think I could change it. I was thinking maybe they saw it quickly and said, challenge, challenge, challenge upstairs. He said after the game that wasn't what they said. I thought it was an impulsive decision. It's a tough decision. I'm not going to kill Vrabel for it, but I didn't like it. And then I thought that was too conservative at the end of the Titans offensive series in the 4th quarter with 6 minutes to go, down by a touchdown. I think it was great to pick up the 15 on, or to pick up the 10 on 3rd and 15, sets up 4th and 5. And then they run the field goal kicker out there. I hated it. Now, if this was going to be to make it a 3-point game instead of a 4-point game, I would have been okay with it. But because it was going to make it a 4-point game, you still need a touchdown. I don't want to give the ball back to Joe Burrow. Basically, the assumption that you're making is, okay, if we kick this field goal, it will extend the game, and we will still have to get a touchdown. Or we could just try to get the touchdown right now. And I vote try to get the touchdown right then and there. It's like I was watching Sunday Night Football last night. Matt LaFleur, who's terrible with the clock. Matt LaFleur made a similar mistake where Green Bay was going for it 4th and short down around the Philadelphia goal line, and they jumped, and Green Bay sent the field goal unit on, and I'm like, why? There's not enough possessions. Given the way the defense was going, there's not enough possessions for them to be able to kick this field goal and stay in the game with Philadelphia. And at that point, you got to go for it. And at this point for the Titans, there's 6 minutes to go in the game. And if you give that ball back to Joe Burrow, I didn't think you'd get the ball back. And so I thought Vrabel, I don't know why Vrabel kicked that field goal. Again, his explanation was, well, we figured we'd kick it. And then by doing, he extended the game. But you're extending the game into the hands of Joe Burrow. even though the defense got a stop, and this defense had been getting creased by Samaje Perine and the Bengals run game, and Burrow's able to put the ball wherever he wants, and he's really in command, and you're going to put the ball back in his hands with a lead? I didn't like that. That's like in baseball. You're down two runs in the eighth inning, and so you decide to bunt to get one of those runs back. No, 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 no. You do not give up that out right there. So I thought Vrabel had a pretty bad day. And those special teams penalties. I mean, Vrabel, you know, the don't do dumb stuff to hurt the team. You hit the snapper in the head. You cannot hit the snapper in the head. That's basic football. You cannot hit the snapper in the head. And, of course, they hit the snapper in the head. So I got to put that one on the coach, too. So even though I think Vrabel's a great coach, I still really thought that he didn't have a great day yesterday. I mean, again, individual play calls I'm not going to nail Vrabel for. And the fact that, you know, the defense on the 7-yard Samaje Perine touchdown, the Bengals brought in all their big jumbo package guys, and the Titans didn't match with more fat guys on the field, which I thought was ridiculous, and that's how Cincinnati gets 7 yards in there. That, to me, is a Shane Bowen problem. That's not a Mike Vrabel problem. But when you hear on the headset that you're going to throw a screen pass to Jeff Swaim in the red zone, that's a Mike Vrabel problem. That's a timeout. We're not doing that. And then, you know, dumb stuff that hurts the team, undisciplined penalties, that's a Vrabel problem. But, man, I did not like, especially, and going back to why I still thought it was ridiculous to kick that field goal, the guy had just missed from 35 before the end of the half. So you're going to ask him to go out there and kick the same field goal again? And you pretty much lose if he misses it? I did not like it. I did not like that decision. And again, I like Vrabel. I think Vrabel's a great coach. But I did not think he had a good day yesterday. And I have a theory behind why I think Vrabel probably had one of his worst coaching performances of the year. I didn't think Vrabel had a bad coaching performance against Kansas City when they lost. I didn't think Vrabel had a bad coaching performance against Buffalo when they lost, though I was shocked that he took Tannehill out of the game in the third quarter. Do not take a quarterback out of the game in the third quarter. I was stunned by that. I didn't think Vrabel was very good in the loss to the Giants. I thought Vrabel was terrible yesterday. I have a theory behind it. 615-737-1025. Then I promise I'm right back to your phones. 615-737-1025. Titans Monday, Stillman & Company, 1025, 1063 The Game.
All four phases. Didn't do a good enough job today being coaching and special teams, offense, and defense.
Mike Vrabel says, hey, that's the new got to play better, got to coach better. But he's not wrong. Offense, terrible in the red zone. Defense, gave up too much bad tackling, which I was disappointed with. Special teams, you name it. Punting was bad. Kick returning was bad. Obviously missing a 35-yarder right before halftime in which the Titans would have had all the momentum going into the locker room and then getting the ball to start the second half was bad. Hitting the snapper in the head was bad. So, yes, all those phases were bad, and the coaching was bad. And I said it. Look, I thought Vrabel was bad. I thought Downing, you know, again, keep running plays with Jeff Swaim in the red zone. See where that gets you. Keep throwing screens to Jeff Swaim. See what happens. I thought, you know, the idea that they were going to try to run that ball right into DJ Reader, 350 pounds with 280-pound Aaron Brewer was ridiculous. So I didn't think, you know, that Downing had a very good game, especially situationally. And I didn't think Vrabel had a very good game situationally. But I do wonder one thing. This is where distractions come into play. I don't think the players were distracted by Todd Downing's DUI. You know, Chris Sanders, I asked him about, would the players even care? You know, Todd Downing gets a DUI, it's all over the news or whatever, but I think a lot of the times the players are like, well, what's that have to do with me? And Chris said, you know, well, I think the players would care just to make sure that he's okay. And when I heard that, I could be wrong, I thought, no, Chris, you would want to make sure that he's okay because you're that nice of a guy. But I think almost all the other players would just kind of be like, nah, whatever. That's his business, not mine. But I do wonder if the Todd Downing DUI was a huge distraction for Mike Vrabel this past week. And I'm starting to think that it was. Because Vrabel is undefeated coming off of extra rest during the regular season. And they had the extra rest after the Packer game. But think about Mike Vrabel's schedule. And this is where the distraction element comes into play. Mike Vrabel probably watched the film on the way home from Green Bay and on Friday morning probably would have had a quick meeting with the team. You know, great job, guys. You know, here's what we want to focus. Everybody take off. See ya. And then they would have started preparing for the Bengals, and they would have been able to have a couple days off and would have been able to relax and recharge on Sunday, and then all of a sudden be back at work, and they would practice on Tuesday and install the game plan and really talk about Cincinnati. And instead, all of a sudden they get home. Mike Vrabel probably gets a call at 4:30 in the morning, and it's, hey, Todd Downing just got a DUI. And now Vrabel's thinking, oh, God. And so how many meetings over the course of the week do you think Mike Vrabel had about Todd Downing's DUI? You think Mike Vrabel, when he had his press conference at 11:30 a.m. on Friday after the Green Bay game, after Todd Downing had gotten booked in prison, you think Mike Vrabel had a meeting before that press conference? You think the Titans brass, by the way, they have a president who is a lawyer who was the former general counsel of the team, you think they probably talked to the coach before he went out and talked to the press? You think he probably had to meet with the NFL, who's launched an investigation into what went down on that plane and how Todd Downing got home and what the punishments were and what the culture was? And you think he had any meetings about that? In fact, Vrabel probably had meetings with people before he had meetings. And because now, with the technology that we've all learned about during COVID, it's really easy to meet. So if the NFL says we want to meet, it's a lot easier than flying people down from New York to set up a meeting for next Thursday. It's here's the link, click it, let's go. Think about all the press conferences that Vrabel had to prepare for that aren't the same of Vrabel going up there and it being like, what's the key to the run game? But more so, who's going to be the coordinator this week and having to address that? Vrabel even said that they had a backup plan. If the league brought down discipline, they would be prepared, which means that somebody else he had to spend time with during the week getting ready to do Todd Downing's job if Todd Downing was not able to do his job. How many meetings do you think Vrabel had and will have because of Todd Downing's DUI? You think he's done with it? You think the Titans organization is done with it? Friday morning. You think that Vrabel gets the call about Downing and then just decides, hey, we're just going to go on with football as is scheduled. We're going to prepare for the Green Bay game. We're not going to talk about it. We're not going to have meetings about it. We're not going to. You really think that? Or do you think that the organization said, hold on, we need to all meet as a group to decide how you're going to address this? We need to all meet as a group after we talk to Amy. You think there was a meeting with Amy after Todd Downing got booked on a DUI? And then you got Todd Downing, who had a press conference on Thursday. You think there was a meeting before Todd Downing had that press conference? You think there was a meeting with lawyers, with his lawyers, about what he could say, what he shouldn't say? You think there was a meeting with Todd Downing, with Mike Vrabel, about, hey, you know, the NFL is going to ask questions. Here's how we have to approach this with the NFL. So think about all these football coaches, and considering that Jeff Saturday won a game after being hired off of TV, I really don't think football coaching is as serious as the football coaches make it out to be, but I'm sure they take their jobs very seriously. But think about just the mentality of the football coach and the idea of, you know, we don't have any time. We don't have any time to waste here, because every second that we waste is a second that Green Bay or Dallas or Arizona has, and we can't give up a second. So everybody, I mean, I remember at training camp this year, one of the coaches' families was there, and the coach is, practice is over, and the coach starts running, and the family says to the coach, I watched it all, the family says to the coach, they go, hey, you got any time? Like, I got a meeting, I got to go. I mean, these guys get no time to themselves. All they ever do is talk about how hard they work, how much film they have to watch. You don't think that that interrupted the schedule? And I love Mike Vrabel, I do. But I feel like I know Vrabel well enough to know that Vrabel probably spent all week wasting time saying, this is not going to be a distraction for us. Dude, you can't make it not a distraction. It was what it was. So I just kind of felt like, you know, again, maybe Vrabel was a little distracted with the Downing stuff. Maybe that took away from what Vrabel had been accomplishing before with the team and the way that things were, and then all of a sudden the DUI comes, and now Vrabel's got all these meetings, and it takes away from the preparation for Cincinnati. And maybe that explains why, again, I didn't think the Titans coached very well, including him yesterday. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Phone lines, of course, are driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Texture says, when are they going to realize that if there are seven or eight in the box, they cannot run Derrick Henry? I would do play action every time until they back off. First of all, the Titans have been seeing seven or eight in the box ever since Derrick Henry went bananas on Jacksonville with that 99-yard touchdown run and that 238-yard game on Thursday Night Football 5 years ago. Every time. So that's not the idea that you think the Patriots, when they played in the playoffs and Derrick Henry ran for 180 yards of the Ravens the next week, you don't think they loaded up the box? Of course they did. The problem for the Titans is understanding where their limitations are. And this is what I didn't like about the Titans game plan. You know, Sherrone Moore, that's not a name that a lot of people know, but a lot of people should. He's the offensive coordinator at Michigan. He was the offensive line coach slash co-offensive coordinator last year. He didn't call the plays. The guy who did call the plays went to Miami. So now Sherrone Moore got promoted. And Sherrone Moore, Michigan is a running team. If you watched the game on Saturday, and I know most of you did, Michigan is a running team. And their star running back was out, and Ohio State, after having Hassan Haskins run all over them last year, Ohio State said, we are not going to allow this. Never again will this happen to us. And so Ohio State loaded that box, and Ohio State said, you better throw the ball if you're going to beat us. And that's what Michigan did. Sherrone Moore realized, we're not going to just run the ball up there every time in order to beat Ohio State. And you notice that after they started hitting some deep passes, then the running game started to come. I'm going to defend the Titans coaches when it comes to running Derrick Henry, because I don't think play action or anything with their offense works if they don't run Derrick Henry. But what I don't like is I don't like the idea of having an entire backup offensive line there against DJ Reader and that group. And I just felt like they were going to try to hammer that nail in there as opposed to maybe try to change things up with how they did it. That bothered me. You know, they hit the shot to Burks. The passing game, which was good last week, is starting to work now. The effects of Derrick Henry were still real, even though they were stopping Derrick Henry. They just didn't take advantage of the effects of Derrick Henry. And that's what bothered me. 615-737-1025. I see your phones loading up. We will get to them. 615-737-1025. Plus, it's an inconvenient reality that the Titans find themselves in, and I don't have an excuse for it. We'll get to that coming up next here on Stillman & Company. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Again, right to your phones on a Titans Monday, 1025-1063 The Game.